as that video attests, Microsoft HoloLens is positioned to become one of the most transformative technologies of our time. And the Retrain the Brain project you just watched was born out of Microsoft's annual employee hackathon this summer. Now, you recognize my next two guests from that video. They are Enterprise Task Manager Sarah Clark and Area Solution Architect Tillman McCollum. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank
Thanks you.
This is going to be fun. We're going to have a fun conversation.
Absolutely.
Congrats on your starring role in that video.
Thank you.
Now you get to meet your adoring fans. This is fun. Let's start with you, Sarah. You're working on a project called Retrain the Brain with HoloLens. Talk about what exactly the project is. How did it come about?
So initially what we did is we just worked to try to develop a multi-sensory approach to help create or strengthen neurological communication within the brain. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to optimize that communication to help improve the overall symptoms that patients with dystonia, Parkinson's, and phantom limb syndrome may experience.
Wow. Now, obviously, we saw you a little hands-on in the video. It's pretty mind-blowing technology, right? I mean, even you had to have a whole lot of wow moments, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the HoloLens really works as it's a mixed type of reality. And so we were working with holographic images, and that really is what provides a lot of the sensory feedback to the individual that is suffering from the condition. Mm-hmm. So part of what we did is just like a very rough sort of proof of concept is mm-hmm. we just thought about how could we make a simple physical therapy that could be applied across three distinctly different conditions, but sort of treat them all in the same way using the HoloLens. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how the project got started.
So yeah, it's an important work and obviously a very ambitious effort, but what personally inspired you? What's your story? Why did you think that this was something you wanted to do?
Well, I personally was diagnosed with dystonia in March of 2014. And so I had all the classic symptoms, and dystonia is an unusual disease and something I'd never heard of before I got diagnosed mm-hmm. with it. Ultimately, it makes your muscles just severely contract. So if you can imagine mm-hmm. having a foot cramp, it's kind of like having a foot cramp, except for it might be in your neck or your leg. So it makes it very, very difficult to move. And so for me, I was looking for some type of treatment other than having to take medication that would improve my situation. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of part of how this came about.
So like any great innovation, right? It was a need.
Yeah,
I need to figure out a new way. Wow, this is great. I would imagine this required an extensive amount of research. Talk about the early stages of your project. How did you get started?
So a lot of it started with an episode that I had. I was having difficulty walking, and my husband came in to assist me. And as you can imagine, I was pretty locked up, so just being able to walk was quite difficult. And my head just happened to be stuck in a downward position, so sort of stuck staring at his feet. Mm-hmm. And over time, it was as though his feet were my feet in a way, right? Mm-hmm. And my brain wanted to accept his feet, even though he was walking backwards. I noticed an improvement in my ability to walk. Hmm. So it was sort of this harebrained thing that happened. And, mm-hmm. you know, naturally, when you have something like what I have, kind of go and look on the internet to see, you know, maybe somebody else has experienced
right.
before. And that's exactly what I did. But I didn't find anything for situations like mine with dystonia. But I did come across the work of a neuroscientist named V.S. Ramachandran. V.S. Ramachandran. And he developed a type of approach or therapy called mirror box therapy back in the 90s. And it was specifically developed for people with phantom limb syndrome. But I noticed that his work mirrored very closely my own experience with my husband. But I found that there were a lot of limitations in terms of all of his work was developed within a box. And with the HoloLens, we would be able, I was hoping that we would be able to remove those limitations and to be able to give a person with a disability the freedom to be able to move and to maybe over time use this therapy and improve their own quality of life. Mm-hmm. Certainly not a cure, but something to improve an individual's life.
Absolutely. Now enter Tillman. Talk about how you got involved in all of this.
Okay, so years ago, Sarah approached us with this idea, with a concept, right? And this concept was around taking the HoloLens as a technology and wrapping it into a world where we can support helping improve the quality for someone who has these conditions that we're discussing. So when she brought the concept to us, it made sense, total sense. We loved it, loved the idea. And we definitely saw where it was possible to do this with the HoloLens, right? We'd take it and allow the HoloLens to create an experience for someone where it connects to the sensory cortex of the brain, right? Through, and specifically here, through sight. If we take, for example, the phantom limb syndrome, this is where basically with the mirror box therapy that Sarah alluded to earlier, this is where through sight, through a mirror image, it connects to your sensory cortex through sight to help improve the, to help remove some of the pains experienced with this condition. And so with the HoloLens, it was easy to understand that if we can create an image that's part of a, an image that creates an experience that can connect sight to sensory cortex, then that's where we wanted to go with it. It made sense. So when she approached with the idea, we took flight, right? And we got involved. And from a developer perspective, because I've been a developer for a number of years now, I understood the API for the HoloLens and how to program in that arena. So we took my skills and took her skills and we meshed that together and created a synergistic team that just exploded. And here we are.
Yeah, talk about your personal story before all of this began, aside from the professional part of it. You know, you were colleagues. How did you actually get involved in this?
Oh, okay. So, well, from a personal experience with Sarah's idea, I think like this, many of us have disabilities, right? Myself, I have a disability too. I'm an asthmatic. One of my best friends I grew up with from childhood, he has a disability, he's autistic. And so he's actually one of my best friends. So anytime someone has an idea that can help improve the lifestyle of any of these individuals or anyone across the, you know, across the globe, I want to be in on it if I can. Right, and this was a perfect opportunity. Well, me and Sarah met years ago, right? Years ago, we both won a one of the most prestigious awards within the company, within Microsoft. And we had some events. It was a week long event, and we always shared ideas, right? Our ideas, our concepts, and things like this. And so this, when we made it round to this particular moment, it was like the spark of light, right? And when that light came on, we all saw the vision, and we all invested into her idea. Yeah. Perfect.
So talk about the in the timeline here where the hackathon fell into place, which ultimately was kind of the catalyst for where we are now, right?
Right. So for how we led it to the hackathon is when she began to put together this team, right? She had ideas. She wanted to approach the hackathon. We put together a team. We had basically, if you wanted to draw a line down the middle,
yeah,
we had a team of people building the concept, and we had another team of people building the actual, making it real. And so she submitted the request to join the hackathon, and we all had faith that we would, you know, we hope for the best, right? And the best happened. It happened. She coordinated, facilitated, and made sure that we were hitting our timelines. Mm-hmm. I mean, planned it to the T, right? And it worked out well, right? That's how we pretty much came together for the hackathon. Mm-hmm. But it took a lot of underlying, the common denominator in all this that made it possible to reach the point for the hackathon was that everyone shared the same passion, right? We understood where Sarah was coming from. And so her passion was strong and it just lit the fire of everyone else who was involved.
Yeah. Now, Sarah, it sounds like, you know, you essentially got going with this the same way so many of us, whether it's a life problem or a physical problem, we typically find out and then we run to the internet and find out what exists, what are people doing.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of mentioned a little bit, well, what are some of the traditional forms of treatment for these conditions?
Traditional forms of treatment start with medication.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you can also do some forms of physical therapy. And those can be successful to some extent. And then ultimately, the last stage is where you would get something called deep brain stimulation. Mm-hmm. And that's where you actually have a device implanted into your brain, which sends corrective firing or corrective signals to the regions of your brain where the misfiring is taking place, causing, you know, the abnormal movements or, in the case of phantom limb syndrome, the sensation that the limb is there and the pain associated with it.
Wow.
So, you know, and that goes right back to the whole concept of, you know, it's not something that you can walk away from, you know. So when you when you have these type of disabilities, you have to take pills or these things to try to control them. You can't untake a pill. You can't walk away from what you have. And so having a sense of empowerment and in allowing people with a disability to feel some sense of empowerment, to mm-hmm. me, was extremely important. And when I think of just not only my own situation, but Parkinson's especially, allowing a person with Parkinson's to maybe be able to walk with their head held high and not needing the assistance of a walker, using visual cues, where they're just simply using a different pathway in the brain mm-hmm. that says, okay, I'm not necessarily walking, I'm taking a step over something. I mean, this is something mm-hmm. that in the neuroscience community, they already know it works. Being able to do something like that, I think, is an incredible benefit to individuals that are suffering.
Sure. Yeah. Let's talk about, you know, how augmented reality, you know, it's obviously completely different from taking a pill, but talk about how practically it's being used to treat some of these conditions. It's amazing.
Sure. So for our proof of concept, we basically started out with one treatment for all three different disorders, diseases. So it was simple. You have your hand outstretched, and then you make a fist. And we also integrated it with Cortana. So the mm-hmm. user would say to, you know, open hand, form a fist. And as the user was giving those verbal commands, it was actually happening in front of them with a holographic limb. So in that way, we were able to not only engage the individual's vision, but also their hearing, right? Which creates a much richer experience. And then the really neat thing about the HoloLens is we could have sort of a range of movement. We weren't limited to, like in this, the case of mirror box therapy, we weren't limited to just staying within that box. We could move around and we could sort of have this limb and have what I called like neural adaption. Mm-hmm. So where the person does this and over a period of time, they begin to see this fake holographic limb as their own.
Right.
And over time, when you're practicing this, right, what our goal was for me to be able to have any movement, for a person with Parkinson's to have improved movement, smoothness mm-hmm. of motion and initiation of motion, and someone with phantom limb syndrome, simply the feeling that they are able to move the phantom limb and that eventually they would be able to eliminate the phantom pain that's associated with that missing limb.
Wow.
And in addition to what she's saying, there is also there's some other potential for making an impact, right? With and the subject of this matter is if you've injured a limb in any way and you need to rehabilitate that limb, mm-hmm. Mirror box therapy has been used to help expedite getting you back to 100% functionality in that particular area, right, that you're trying to rehabilitate. So this mirror box therapy is improved. If that has been used to help regenerate that functionality right back to 100%, then imagine having the HoloLens, having a holographic experience that you can also leverage to connect to your sensory cortex to help rehabilitate, you know, injured limbs in this mm-hmm. case. When we look at mirror box therapy, you're looking at a mirror image of an actual limb that you have. So if I hide my right arm, I put my left arm out, I can see my right arm through my left arm's inverse image in the mirror. Well, with the HoloLens, if you take the holographic, the mixed reality, and you have both limbs in play, how much effective can that now be, potentially be? There's more potential that we're trying to unlock. We're unlocking mm-hmm. the potential. We're trying to discover the art of the possible based on what we know, the things we know and how we feel it can help the world community.
And as you're trying to unlock the potential and retrain the brain, not an easy road, but you're seeing some positive results so far. What are we seeing?
Yeah, so ultimately, in the long term, what we're doing is we're just working to establish or strengthen and make the brain have preferred path for communication, right? In the short time that we were able to work on the project, I think it was amazing. We had a very, very small amount of time to get our code together and everything. But it did make you feel as though the limb and the experiment, that it was all working. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'm answering your question as well as you'd like, but ultimately, we have seen a small amount of improvement. Granted, sure. We haven't had a ton of time.
Right.
And, you know, this type of thing would require a true research facility, mm-hmm. neuroscientists, developers, and so on and so forth, to really test it extensively. But in the small amount of time that we had, I think that it was a very good proof of concept.
Yeah, we knocked out. We feel like we knocked out a part.
Sure.
Getting to where we got within the time that we had. And,
yeah.
And it was just a true sense of teamwork, effort, sharing the passion, mm-hmm. everyone seeing the possible, everyone, sharing this experience mutually. And it was fun at the same time, dealing with cutting edge technology.
Yeah.
HoloLens is the first of its kind. And it's just the potential. Once you start unlocking doors and starting to walk through the tunnel deeper and deeper, you start to explore.
And I think that raises a really good point, is that, you know, we see other potential applications for this particular type of therapy, right? It could be with autism. It could be with ADHD, post-traumatic stress disorder. But I think the thing is that it even goes beyond that. There may be opportunities within the retail space and different industries to really be able to unlock the potential, not just using a HoloLens, but also integrating that with things like analytics.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Well, my last question was going to be, I know you're in the early stages, but where would you like to see this go? What other applications are possible? But it's as though you retrained your brain to know that that was going to be my last question, because you already answered it. Well, congratulations. Thank you both very much for sharing that. Good luck with everything.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Thank you.